Okay, let's try to finish the Perek. Let's see how this goes. Fine. So we were up to Ein Sachen, right?
We're for the Gemara. We finished the
Mishnah. I mean, we read through it, right? I mean, we can do it on the Mishnah, we can do it on the Gemara, but let's, right, fine, let's remind ourselves what we were doing in the Mishnah again. So the ones we haven't dealt with are Ein Sachen, Kelim, B'Shemen, Shel, Shvi'it,
Ein
Sach, Yokal, Kenegda. But you cannot anoint your vessels with oil of Shemitah, and if you do, you have to eat Kenegda. And we talked about, again, the question of whether that means that it's actually Kadosh, is it actually a Chil, is it just a Kenas?
Yeah.
I'll just note that in the Tosefta, has the case of Rabbi Yossi Omer Tzovea Bo Atzitz V'notzno L'tol Chamidurat. You can color a like a flower plot and put it in the fire. And Afal Gav Da'asur Lasuch Kelim B'Shemen, even though you aren't allowed to anoint your vessels with oil. I'm just reading Chaim Kadoshki. He says there the reason is because you're burning it. And the Chachamim say it's not. Right? Why? Because the Hana isn't Nikar. Right? So even though you are allowed to burn it, right? So Rabbi Yossi says, listen, in that case, I put it on something and I throw it into the fire. So what am I really doing? Burning it, and as we saw, you're allowed to do that for heat or whatever, light. And the Chacham is saying, it's not because it's not Nikar. It's not, you don't notice that it is, the Chacham is that you can't. Rochan Kanansky has two possibilities. One is that they're arguing about whether we, on a level of Derabanan, is it about, right, does the Hana not only have to be present, but to be Nikar? Wait, where's Shlomo? Oh, you are here. Ellie's, blocking you from my side. This is the problem with being short, I was sure you were here, and then, so that's possibility one. So possibility one is that, the machlokot here are much, and this is, I think, true in a lot of these sugyot, is technical, right? It's like, fundamentally, it should be mutter, but does it look wrong? Or he says, no, maybe the machlokot here is, in the Tosefta, is, does the fact that it was the oil like was absorbed into the vessel, does that make it that the Hana is halachically insignificant, even though it, in theory, exists? Okay, so then you got or shetzachu b'shemen shel shvi'it. If you have leather that you rub with oil, Rilazar amar yidolek. Rilazar says, burn it. Burn it. And Chacham Omrim Yochal Kenegda. The Chacham say you don't have to eat it. What you have to do is
consume
parallel amount. Good. Now, the simplest understanding of this machloket is Kenas. Right? Is that the machloket is that you shouldn't have done it, and now the question is what do we make you do as the Kenas? The Chacham say it's enough to punish you to make you take that amount of oil and eat it. B'kdushat Shvi'it, with all the limitations that brings with it. And Rabbi Lazar says, no! We are going to make you burn it. Right? Okay, so now Josh says, okay, then why?
Because the leather has oil absorbed into it, and therefore you
So why would it be different? So if you look here, I have in the footnote, but if you looked in the Pesach Mishnah and the Tiferet Yisrael, the Tiferet with Yisrael on this Mishnah says, one second, I'll read it to you. Who hadin bekelim shesachan? Right, he says it is right what? That right. He just
why do you say that there? That's
the Tiferet Yisrael and the Tosfot Yom Tov both say. right, Mistabra the Af bekelim Yisraeli. The Yidluk of the Chaim Rambam will say Ba'or Amra. So the way that Tosfot Yom Tov and Yisrael understand this sugya, right? Josh asked the correct question: is what about everything else? The answer is, right. They hold it by everything else. That they hold in all cases in which you are not allowed to anoint something with oil. If you did, the punishment is the kenas is burn it. So Josh's question, according to them, is misplaced.
Why did you say that?
Right, misplaced. Right, and you'll say it didn't say it. I don't know. He didn't say it. He meant it. Okay, deal with it. Now.
Isn't it the fact that they mentioned a leather
directly here, and he says that you should burn it. So isn't that more like, sound like specific?
Oh, very good. So who says that? Pretty much everybody else.
So if you look, for example, at the Canadian chef, specifically, like, right?
So if you look,
leather.
No, but like.
So the so oh, very good. So the so Pnei Moshe says, right? So Pnei Moshe says, look, Pnei Moshe says no. Again, this is all within Kenaz, but he says, "V'pneisha or b'leah harbe." The im goes and nikar lav Hashem and yoter me'al shara kelim. The Lezer says, "Here's the problem: most kelim you put in the oil, it's totally absorbed. I don't know. You put it in your wool thing, it's absorbed. By leather, even when it's absorbed, there's like a glisten. You see it, you notice it.
Therefore,
and therefore, he's like, ah, we need a stricter Kenaz. I don't know.
Less strict. Burning it is stricter, no?
Right. That's why he says burn it." Specifically by leather.
Because
someone looks at it and says, oh, that was the leather that he illegally rubbed oil into.
They don't see that. They see that by the caleb.
No.
The realization is he delayed. Only by or, not by other caleb.
You see it on the caleb.
No, you don't.
No.
It's completely absorbed.
It's not absorbed.
No, that's a good question, because I don't know what reality he's thinking. I assume he means like some other clothing, like a wool versus leather, or something like that. But yes, so according to Bnei Moshe, it's when you stare at it and you say, look, it yells at you, hi, I am illegally used Shemitah oil. Then we make you burn it. Right? That is how he takes it. So again, this is fully within, like, the parameters of Kenaz. Right, that everyone's arguing that Kenaz. So the question is, okay, and the Chachamim say, now the Chazon Ish is a suffix. Why is Rabbi Eliezer so machmir that he makes you burn it? So one possibility is that he doesn't want anyone to benefit from Isser.
It makes the Hanabir.
And what are they arguing about? So according to the Chazon Ish, what are they arguing about? They're arguing about what does it mean to not benefit. The Chachamim say, listen, if we make you take that amount of money and you eat it and do such a fit, correct, you don't have net benefit, right? Right, and we lost there. So his first possibility is what are they? One second. His first possibility is what are they arguing about? Everyone agrees that we don't want you to benefit. The question is, do we mean we don't want you to benefit net, or we don't want you to benefit from the Shemitah? Right. So if it's we don't want you to benefit in your net worth, so then what's the solution? Yochal Kenegda. No, your net worth, then Yochal Kenegda. If we don't want you to benefit from illegally used Shemitah, then what's the halacha?
Burn it.
Exactly. So that's the Chazon Ish. Now, that's possibility one.
No, the women is actually more mythical.
Right. His second possibility is no. They're not arguing that the benefit. It's just that Relazer in general has a more machmir tendency to how we punish you. Right. Meaning, is this a local machloket about how do we conceptualize the benefit, or is this a meta machloket about what is how harsh do we have to be with rabbinic violators? What's the nafkamina? So he says the nafkamina is Shogig. What if someone did it by accident? So if it's about punishment, the realizer is just a very machmir person. So then, in that case, presumably, he would not be machmir because he did it by accident. But if it's a question that it's, listen, you're not allowed to benefit from it. Yes, you did it by accident, but post facto, you can't benefit from it. And they have a machloket of what it means to not benefit. It's not to benefit from it or not to benefit net. Then even Shogig, Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, would argue. Yeah, that's the Chazon Ish's.
So it's not about Hanan Bir Shemel.
One second. That's his. Now there's yet another explanation here in the Chilufei Girsot. Again, we're going quite well. I would like to try to go fast. So what does the Chilufei Girsot say? So far we've assumed that. Do you have a Chilufei Girsot or only I do?
No. Yeah.
B.
Yeah, you do have it that says the alternate to Kenaz? Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay, fine. So, I'll read it to you from the English and a little short Maybe we'll finish the prayer. We've explained Reuel's requirement the hide be burned as a rabbinic penalty for using Shviat oil improperly. Others, however, understand it not as a penalty, but as an application of one of the biblical laws of Shviat. Right, so far we've given different Lamdish variations within the understanding of Kenaz. But it could be that it's not. What might the Wachlok be?
He's saying to use it in proper.
Ah, so you're getting too fancy. There's a much easier one, which is, remember, there's a machloket about, maybe what it's saying is that if you misuse the oil, what do we make you do? Do the mitzvah of biur. And remember, there's a machloket we've shown him. What is biur? Right? We haven't done biur yet, but I've mentioned enough times. It's a fundamental machloket. What is biur? That most Rishonim understand it as removing it from one's house, where the Rambam understands it being destroyed. And if that's the case, what might drive Rabbi Eliezer?
The fact that it could be destroyed, according to...
Exactly. And therefore, this sugya is only after the Zman HaBiur, and their Machloket is about what beer is. If you look at the Rosh Cirilio, Yidolei. Sorry, I have yours, right? But I'll read to you. Achar HaBeur, this is talking about after Biur. Kedin Perot Shel Achara Biur. V'hacha Nami Ashkel Marabonan Beget Shetzavu B'Kliv Eshviyat Yidolek. Marabonan Pligalei the shiny Beget the Chazuta Miltahi. Now, he could have just said, the Rosh Elio could have said, what's the Machoket Rilazer and the Chachamim? What is Biur?
Right?
He doesn't. He thinks that everyone agrees that Biur is burning. The Machloket is that that Rilazer holds that the oil still exists. And the Chachamim saying, no, once it's absorbed, halachically it doesn't exist. And therefore, it's not subject to Biur. So now, if this is the case...
If it's been used, you know... I thought that only if...
And this, by the way, is a Machloket in the ninth paragraph. Right, is whether something's absorbed still has the laws of Shviat. Right, so according to the Rosh Rilio, this is simply, one second, this is a parallel to the Machloket later in the ninth parak.
I assume that this would carry over to like Dmei Shviat, where like you spend it on something that you weren't allowed to, it carries over as to whether or not the Dmei Shviat still retains it.
Well, right, so Dmei Shviat has a similar problem. Yeah, exactly.
But like I can see how oil would be used up because, like, you literally cannot use it for any other purpose now. But
I mean, nobody's saying
I still kind of more subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer.
Okay, so just to summarize, what we've seen most of the Mefarshim assume that the Machloket here is about Kenaz, and the question is, what type of Kenaz? We saw within the Chazon Ish two models, right? One is that they're arguing, are they arguing just generally? Eliezer is very machmir. We punish people, or is it local to Shemitah? They're arguing about what does it mean to make sure you don't benefit. You don't benefit net, or you don't benefit from the oil as an object.
Well, the general argument would be teaching you about classes in general.
Yes, right? The nafkamina for him is what if you did a shogig. We saw the machloket in the Mefarshim of whether a Rilazar's statement is only about oil on leather, or about all kelim, or maybe Rilazar is just machmer in general. And then we saw the position of the Rosh Cirilio that the machloket here is actually fundamental, is that the reason you have to burn it is because of beer. The machloket is, do we view the oil as still existent such that beer would apply to it? And theoretically, if you wanted to go in this direction, you could have said, no, the machloket and the chachamim is the machloket Rambam and other Rishonim of beer. By the way, in brackets...
Why would they say Ofo Kenaita?
What?
Beer.
Right, so that would be the kasha, right? You have to say, that's some sort of hefker. I don't know. Yes, that's probably what
it is. Why can't it be Hanaso Birushava? That's what he's saying. That burning is only use you have left of it now.
Maybe if you assume that you're going to benefit from it. I don't know.
I mean, if you're using it as a fire, presumably.
It could be. I will just point out, parenthetically, right, that this should remind you of the importance as we go into Pesach of the machloket of what the word biur means. And I'll probably end up doing this next year when we do Pesachim, but very quickly.
We're doing Pesachim next year? The last part, are we Pesachim?
I think it'll depend on this year.
For Agadita?
Probably for Agadita.
Yeah!
We'll see. Oh, sorry. So, right, there's a major machlok in Rishonim. Why is it that the bracha that you make on bedika chametz
is
al biur chametz? So some of the Rishonim say, because you're making the bracha on the burning the next day.
Yeah.
Right? However, some Rishonim say, what do you mean? Biur doesn't necessarily mean to burn, it can mean to get rid of. And the process, and therefore bedika is part of the process of getting rid of. Right? Which gets into the whole question of what is bedika?
We do a hefker, we do a full chamira of the chamira.
Very good. And that's why the question of the bracha here is fascinating, but it's also one of the many cases where you've got to figure out is biur meant to be burning? And another one of those machlokot where it's relevant is by biur maizor. I have a third one, but not for now.
Or that means you can't make a hefsek between the time that you look for the chametz until the time you actually get rid of it. That's terrible.
And this same machlokot about the word and the right, the word livaer is right about the word livaer is very important. Right, what does livaer mean? Okay, so now let's continue. So the Gemara then says that Amru livaer mekiva Omer Rabbi Elazar or Shemesh Shemeshi Yidalek Amru Len Shtoku. Lo, Omar Lachem, Lazar Omar Lo. He says, ah, shy, he never said that, and I won't tell you what he actually said. Ha, 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 ha. Yes, maniacal laugh. And it's like, it's one of the weirdest, it's like, what is going on? Right? I won't tell you. And we'll see in the Gemara, they apparently spend time in figuring out, what did he mean? I won't tell you. What did he mean by shut up? Oh, Lump doesn't shut up. Okay. I mean,
the hey at the end or an aleph at the end? Like the original spelling of his name.
It's a good question.
Aramaic versus Hebrew.
It's a good question.
Well,
okay, short story. Fine?
Yeah.
There is a very important work by Rabbi Yitzchak of Vienna, the Baal HaTosfot, known by his book called the Or Zeruah. Now you will ask me, why is the Or Zeruah one of the most important in the German Rishonim? Why does he name his book the Or Zeruah? Right, and not like the Perush Reb Yitzchak of Vienna. So he tells the following very odd story, okay, which is that he was kept up at night by Josh's question, which is Akiva. Is it spelled with an aleph at the end? Is it spelled with a hey? Is it spelled with an aleph? Is it spelled with a hey? Spelled with an aleph? It's spelled with a hey? I just don't know. It's torture. And then God revealed to him the secret that the sofe tevot of the pasuk or zarua latzadik ulishrei lev simcha is Rebbe Akiva with a hey at the end, and he was so moved by the vision he got from God that he named his book Or Zarua. I have no idea what to do with that. I don't know what to do with that story. He is one of the most important of the Rishonim, hands down.
That's kind of trippy.
It is definitely trippy. Yes. The Urzaroa was a bit trippy sometimes. Because he was both a Baal HaTosfot and a student of the Hasidic Ashkenaz. So, trippy? Yeah, trippy. Trippy. Good.
Maybe Josh would have written the sequel.
So trippy. Trippy sounds right. Good. Okay. Then it says, oh, so another time he said, oh, patkuti, bread of non-Jews. And again, you probably know Halacha, there's three statuses.
Pas Akum.
Pas Akum, Pas Palter, and Pas Yisrael. Pas Yisrael is that which is baked by a Jew. Pas Akum is that which is baked by a Goy in a private context, which is usher entirely. And then there's the skula that we have by Pas called Pas Palter, where it's baked in an industrial setting, and therefore it is, well, something, right? It has a different status. Standard psak is that it's mutter, but maybe not lechatchila, right? And that's why, you know, you have the chomer during a serious mechuva, and it's a very complicated little sugya in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, by which I mean a very large sugya. Okay? Now, it's not totally clear if what we're dealing with here is that. Right, the simple understanding, right, of many here, when are we talking about an exera, right? So for example, Yom Tov notes that one way of understanding this whole Mishnah is that we're just dealing with normal exera of Pas Achter. And what we're talking about is that there was a group called the Kutim. Who were the Kutim? There were people that Sancheirib brought. Right? There were people that Sancheirib brought. Then, that Sancheirib brought to the Arei Shomron, and they were insincere converts, and therefore there was an ongoing machloket in the time of the Gemara for a long time of whether they were real converts or they were insincere converts, right? So for a while it was a machloket, and eventually they realized these people are still Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we treat them as Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Okay? So the Tosfos Yom Tov has a little deal in here where he notes that one way of reading this Mishnah is that we're dealing with the Kutim after we decided that they are Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and all we mean here is Pasakum, the normal Gzera of Pasakum, right? However, the Tosfos Yom Tov, one second, the Tosfos Yom Tov doesn't like this. Why?
Why isn't it today, Papa?
Right? Because then it should say Pasakum. So one possibility is we're just talking about the normal Gzera of Pasakum. The problem is, say Pasakum, don't say Paskutim. Therefore, others, like the Rash, say that no, the reason it's so harsh here is because we're dealing with not pas akum, but pas kutim. We're dealing specifically with the pas of the bread of kutim. And the Rash says the problem is that it wasn't meiser. Meiser wasn't given. From it, we're dealing with something which is tevel. Right? We're dealing with something which is tevel. And that's why it's kibasar chazir, because tevel is an isher d'oraita. Right, because another kasha on saying we're dealing with pasakum is that the language here is kibatzar chazir. What's the problem with parakum? It's only midirabanan. It's only this midirabanan, and therefore the Rosh's solution is no. We mean kutim when they were treated as Jews, but they weren't makban and truman of meister, and therefore we're dealing with tevel, and that is kibatzar chazir. The Tosfos Yom Tov doesn't like that either. And there's a whole long kasha on this. I'm gonna skip a lot of his diyun. Now, what would it mean to say the basar chazir? So the assumption seems to be that it's also midaraita and you get malkut. And that's why you have people struggling and saying maybe we're dealing with something which you actually get malkut for, namely tevel. Right, that would be the motivation for this.
The specifically pygmies, like we know the reason, like that, like the thing about like the pigs, it shows off like the part that's kosher, even though
it's not really kosher. It could be within Chazal's idea of that. Yeah, that's definitely possible. Right, so you have these. Right, so I will read you right very quickly a little bit of a summary here from Kanievsky again. I'm very helpful to have his summary of Kultur Kula. So again, he quotes the Rash, who says that the pshat here in the Mishnah, where it says kibasar chazir, is that we're dealing with the kutum as Jews who don't give maaser, and therefore we're dealing with tevel. Okay, and even though they actually give maaser for themselves, one of the things that Chazal say about the kutum is that they keep halacha, but what don't they keep? Lifnei iver. Right? They don't care to make, long discussion, because they don't believe that's the pshat l'psukim, because they follow the pshat in the pasuk, so they don't trip blind people, but they don't care to make other people violate the surim.
What's the, are these zukim?
No, these are kutim, who also don't listen to chazal.
A lot of people like that.
Yes, too. Exactly.
What's the gemara name for the Pharisees?
Pushim.
Also known as Jews.
Now, Tosfot in Gittin, however, says that no, this really means kutim, not akum. This is not regular pas akum. This is pas kutim. Why is there a special curse on someone who eats the pot of the kutim, even though they're like quasi-Jews or maybe they're not Jewish? Because the Chazal wanted to get you far, far away from the kutim. Right. They are even more insidious, perhaps because of what Josh said, that they pretend to be Jews, and so they might be Jews. However, the Rambam says no. What it means here is pas akum. It's just pas akum. That's all we mean. And what does malchus mean here? Midrabanan, makus mardus. Right, makus mardus. Now, as we'll see, these possibilities seem to be part of the diyun here between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, and the discussion in the Gemara. Right, and that's what Chaimievsky notes, is that part of the question of what is Rabbi Akiva like yelling about is what is the machskana here, right? And what exactly we're rejecting and what are we not rejecting, right? Now, there's a problem with the Rosh's view, which is it shouldn't be limited to bread. Right, meaning if it's really about Shulman Maisha, it should be about everything, and therefore this is right. So then he notes that Tosfos Yom Tov in this long sort of bracketed piece has a hybrid position, which is maybe it really is pas akum, right? But like really, really the main problem is parakum. But because there's also in the background the possibility that it's pas of Jews that didn't have Shomer Maaser given from it, so even if that's not enough to be gozer, when we say kibasar chazir, we don't mean it's also with the right. It means it's Isher Darabanan, but there's also in the background a possibility of Isher Darabanan, so it's like a really, really bad Darabanan, right? So you have, so the question, again, in this mission, are we dealing with regular parakum? In which case, why is it Basar Chazir? But that seems to be the Rambam saying. Is it dealing with the Kuti as Jews? And the problem is Truman and Maestro. Is it some hybrid, which it does with Yom Tov, right?
I think the point is it doesn't matter because either way you're going to be
violated. Right, and then again, it gets this whole discussion here. Okay, and this, by the way, is from Rechaim Kanevsky's Perish and Masechet Kutim. So just,
how many books are those?
Yeah, so there are Masechet Ketanot at the back of the Gemara and Sanhedrin, and one of them is Kutim. And really? One of the things Rechaim Kanevsky was really devoted his life to was writing on the parts of Torah that no one else wrote on. So one of them is the Masechet Ketanot. So he wrote a Perish on Masechet Kutim. What? So there are the long ones, like Avodah Rinatan, but then there's like Tzitzit and Tfilin and Derech HaDraba, Derech HaZuta. A whole bunch. They're fun. Depends which one. They're the fun of obscure Mesefta.
That's how short they are.
What other kind of fun is there?
Yes, exactly.
Are they like canonized? Well,
there's the fun of learning up. No,
are they canonized? Are they canonized in...
So they were compiled in time of the Gaonim with Chazal material. Uh-huh. Right? Like the exact organization seems to have happened in the time of Gonim, but the material is old. Okay. So they're very, very, very important in general. Now, again, the Mara Fulda follows the Rambam, that we're dealing kanira with normal parakum, and it's just talking about Malkus Midirabanan. Right, that seems to be his position. The Rash... Again, you have different... Each of the Mepharshim here in the Yerushalmi take different views, okay? But the Kafter of Aferech says, why do we call it pig? Maybe just because pig is uber ichi. uber ichi. Fine. I don't know.
Kafter of Aferech?
Yeah, that's Rev Ashtora Parchi. Rev Ashtoria Parchi. He's a very interesting Rishon, who writes a lot about Eretz Yisrael. Now, there is a machloket. Now, most Mepharshim assume that when Rabbi Kiva yelled at him, it's because that he says it's not that Mekia, not that Machmir, it's just Derabanan. Right? However, some Mepharshim say that, no, Rabbi Kiva was more machmir. So we'll get back to that in the Gemara in just a second, okay? Then the Gemara says, Merchatz, Shehuska b'tevin b'kashal shviit, l'rchotzba, amutar l'chotzba, you can shower in this this bathhouse, you can bathe in this bathhouse that's heated with straw. Now, again, there's so many sugot in here, but part of it is Eitzim. Remember we talked about Eitzim, right? So this is Eitzim. So why would you be allowed to do this? Because Hanato, either Hanato Biro Shaveh, Now, it's not really.
Why? Because the water has to heat up first?
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So it could be that maybe it just that maybe lechatzil you're not allowed to do this, but post facto you can because we're not gozer in such a case.
I mean, because you already did the wrong thing, and now you're just
or someone else did it, right? Or well, someone else has the bathhouse.
Don't need.
Come say it again.
So, did we say this type of HSIM that doesn't need to?
Out of curiosity, in the case where with the bathhouse where you've already done it and now we're benefiting, is thinking that like the that all of the kedusha already dissipated and therefore you're just reaping the reward or something,
right?
Or is it that like the kedusha?
So again, you're
the kedusha in the wrong way.
Correct. Like, so it's not totally clear, right? So just like before, you have a machloket. Is this only by Amerchatz? What about Isaiah? How much of a misuse? You have a machloket about whether you first have Yochel Kenegdan or not, right? Meaning the exact parameters are a little bit unclear. And the Rosh Shulio has a very weird position that maybe this is only by water that was already hot, Chamei Tveria, and the only reason you're allowed to do it is because you're adding heat to something which is already warm. But you're right, if it was from nothing, then you wouldn't be allowed to.
Because you weren't using really the Aser fire to like entirely heat it up. Yeah, because
it's not about the fact that you you're burning the heaven.
Still. But at the end of the day, the water is
it can't be from the effect of the other.
Yeah, I'm going to hold off the next line, right? So then the next line is imit chashevu, but if something, you're chashev, hopefully that'll probably be the biggest sugya left.
Yeah,
let's leave it. So if he's chashev, harezel the yerchot, he can't wash. Okay, we'll hold that thought. Let's read the Gemara, and then we'll come back to the chashev, okay? So, again, Gemara. Am Rav Yossi zoto merech asher likach. From here you learn you can't marry someone because what's the difference between marrying and buying a maidservant? We have talked about that at length. I'm not doing that again. Okay? Ein sachin kelim shemen shel shviat. The Yerushalmi says, Tani, shemen shel shviat, ein chos min bo tanur vikirayim. You can't strengthen the oven. Now what exactly it means is it to strengthen it. The Rosh really suggests that maybe putting extra oil spreads out the heat, right? Because you spread it along the whole oven and therefore it heats up more, something like that. Or whatever it is. This sandalim, nor can you anoint your sandals. To make it salt. So to make it softer. You have hard leather, you make it softer.
You won't be walking around with oil on your shoes.
It's like they did. It's like cream. It's like cream. V'hu b'toch v'lo yisroch adam et raglo v'hu b'toch min alo, and you aren't allowed to put it in your foot and then shove it into your shoe. While it's in there, the other way around. You can and then put it in your shoe. Aval aval sachu et raglo v'notein. We've already said that you're not allowed to anoint your vessels and your clothes, so you can't put it straight in there because then it's the primary use is
softening up the leather.
However, if you put it on your foot, so then you're using it with your foot, and then sort of leftover hana'ah.
You can't be like, I didn't mean for
it. Because then it's like, I'm putting it on my shoe. It's like, oh, my shoes are on. I'm going to get it in. Right? If you like.
Or being beer.
The difference is that it's got more something to say.
Because you're still massaging your foot. And then,
unless you say out loud, I'm massaging my foot so with oil so that I can oil up.
Have you ever, right?
Yeah, okay.
Unless you say that out loud,
I'm putting it on my shoe as opposed to my
Have you ever, no, Kobe, have you ever put hands on your hands and not like fully rub it in? Not because just because you didn't. because something doesn't rub in so fast, and you're like running.
Okay.
So if you put it on your foot, you're rubbing it into your foot, and then like you know, you don't have time to like get it fully in, so you stick it in your foot, your shoe, and it happens to be good for the shoe, right? That's
so it's
one
a
thing.
Smaller.
Presumably, it's a small amount that's left over. Yeah, left over.
Or,
not necessarily to begin with.
Small amount that's absorbed into the shoe.
Or not only that.
Presumably.
Or not only that. There's another
but it's also ancillary. It's your ancillary goal at any rate.
There's another way to read it. That once you've already smeared it onto yourself, even if there's some leftover on your skin, you've already used it for the function that it was meant to be used.
So that's another possibility. Good. So we have the bitruma, right? That it could be different, right? You could suggest a different model, which is, listen, once you've used it for its primary purpose, you're allowed to benefit it in more expansive ways secondarily. So we have that by Truma. So if you start with your foot,
it's
in your shoe, it could be that the shoe is looked at as what you're doing first and like primarily.
There has to be more or less oil. Otherwise, I think the same way you could say over here, I'm not putting oil on my shoe, but when I stick my foot in, I could say the same thing the other way.
I don't know what to tell you. Let's just finish the next paragraph and then come back. Sach shemen, you can put oil on you with agel gabe kadavlaya, and then you can roll around on leather. Venochoshin, it's fine, same idea.
Why is it venochoshin?
But lo yitnen al gabe tavla shel shayish, but you can't put it on shayish. Why? Because it's not going to be absorbed. Hit agel, but to roll around, because you're going to destroy some of it. Rishim ben Gamliel Matir, Rishim ben Gamliel says it's mutter. Now, what's their machloket?
It sounds like a shino.
So the simplest understanding is just that their argument whether it's going to be destroyed. That Rishim ben Gamliel says, listen, you put it on something which doesn't absorb, it won't be destroyed, so you're really benefiting. The Chachamim say, you know, pouring it on the floor, right? Even though it's not absorbing it, like it might end up going to the ibu. Right? So it could be a very technical machloket. You're doing it to make it easier for you to roll on yourself.
Is that a normal way of applying oil?
I don't know. How often do I put oil on my whole body?
It sounded like sheen oil.
I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. Look, we're lucky. If you want to moisturize your whole body, you go and you get a body wash that has moisturizing cream, and you take a shower and you put it in your body. Maybe this is how they did it. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
It would be better not to do it on leather because then it gets less absorbed into leather and I have more...
Really, they don't do it on leather. He said shyish. Marble.
No, he said that you can't put it on the leather.
No, shyish. No,
first case is leather.
Second, yeah, but I'm on the second already. On the shyish case.
The first one is leather, the second one is awesome. The first one is the one that makes it, the second one is the one that makes it easier to apply oil onto yourself because it doesn't get absorbed into the shyish.
Yeah, okay. Again, I'm going to read you the textual variant in English because it'll take us faster. Oh, yeah, I'm rushing. Okay, so this is all, the way we've understood it so far is Mar Folda, right? We've been following the approach of Mar Folda, who explains the Braise's rulings regarding footwear and hides revolve around rabbinic concern, right? This is all Darabanan. He understands that under biblical law, smearing oil on oneself is permitted, even in a way that makes it inevitable that another object will absorb some of the oil. And this is basically, right, Kobe's problem, right? Which is, I understand, why is this a problem? Right? What's the problem? Meaning, in the end of the day, I'm using it for myself. The fact that it also gets used by something else, who cares? As Mordechai correctly notes, like by Truma, we allow you to do that. Right? We allow you to use the primary use for yourself, and then if there's secondary benefit that comes to, to a non-Kohen, that's fine. So, for example, if Shlomo puts Truma oil on his hands as moisturizer and doesn't rub it fully in, and then he shakes someone's hands, good Shabbos, right? That's mutter. But the Mar Folda says that neither Rabbanan, we don't let you do this. However, the Rosh Tzurillo and others say that what we're dealing here with is an Isser D'Oraisa.
Of?
What's the Isser D'Oraisa? So he thinks that no, what you're not allowed to do is do it l'shem, do it with Kavanah for the shoe. That makes it Usser, right? So Rashi really explains that one who smears oil on his foot when it is in the shoe is necessarily intending also for the benefit of the shoe. When, however, he smears on his foot first and only later puts in the shoe, the assumptions he did not intend for the shoe, in the former case is forbidden under biblical law. So according to the Rashi really, it's no, it's all about kavanah. I am not allowed to intend to do it for the shoe. And what I do is I judge the situation based on does what I'm doing make it inevitable that I'm benefiting the shoe? If it's in the shoe, then it's clear that it's inevitable, and part of my kavanah is the shoe, and that's not mutter because that's a violation of hanato v'rushava and proper hana and all that. But if I put it outside, so then whatever's left over, it's not for the shoe. Again, according... Now, what's the machloket? According to Marafolda, what I care about in Shemitah is primary use. And as long as my primary use is mutter, or secondary use, I don't have to worry about it. According to the Rosh Terilio, no. I'm not allowed to have any kavana explicitly for hana'a that is not legitimate. Yet a third position emerges from Mari Korkus. So a different approach emerges from the Mari Korkus in the case of Mishnah. These commentaries are explaining rulings regarding truma oil contained in Tosefta and Rambam, which are identical to rulings on Mishnah, which I just mentioned. Truma oil may be eaten by a kohen or smeared on his body, but not on other objects. Mari Korkus, case of Mishnah, Chassid David, understand the biblical prohibition of smearing truma oil should really apply to all of the cases we've been discussing regardless of the person's intent, since it is inevitable that oil is absorbed by the footwear or hide. Nevertheless, where the oil is applied first to the person, no violation occurs when it is later absorbed into the footwear or hide, according to these commentators, because the oil has been deconsecrated by being applied to the person. Right? It's an act of kilul. It's mechala. Exactly. These commentators apparently maintain the ruling of our brisa, too, are based upon that principle. Now, in order to do that, what must you think? That Shemitah is kadosh. Right? Because then, in order to apply that rule of desacralizing, at some level, you must think there is Kedusha. This approach to the Sugya is indeed followed by Rucham Kanievsky. You have it here. Right? Meziv. However, Derech Amuna elsewhere disagrees. So if you have, here you have Rucham Kanievsky. I want to read it. No, you do.
Side, the margin.
The side, you do.
Right. Because he's still putting oil on his sandal, even if he's trying to get his foot. But he can put it on his foot. And now, since he already used it, when he wanted to use it for, it had chilul done to it, and therefore you can put your foot inside your sandal.
It also seems that there's a thing about...
Right, so Reb Chaim Kanievsky follows the model of Mari Korkus as a Mishnah, which is not crazy, what we're really doing here is we're comparing Kedusha of Shemitah and Kedusha of Shvi'it, and just like by Shvi'it we have this idea, by Truma we have this idea of, what's it called? Of desacralizing. So here we do as well.
There seems to be like a clear separation between like putting oil in your sandal and just happening to get oil in your sandal. So that there's also that. Because if you like accidentally get oil on your sandal, you wouldn't have to like burn it, right? So it
depends what you think. Accidentally?
If oil spilled on the sandal. It absorbs. And you could get a benefit from it.
Well, that was not focused before. But accidentally.
Now, however, even though Rucham Kanievsky here follows the Derech Amuna, follows the Kesef Mishnah, in the Derech Amuna he suggests that maybe the reason to argue and not compare the two is that we don't have a pasuk like that that says you're allowed to be mechalel shvi'it in the same way. Right? This is based on the Gzeirat HaKasuv by Truma, but we might expand it and say that what's the reason to reject this comparison? Guys, right? What might be the reason to reject the comparison? Right, so Rucham Kanievsky in Derech Amuna says, well, on the one hand, you might just say that there is a, what's it called? There is no Gzeirat HaKatuv. On the other hand, you might say that the fact that there's no Gzeirat HaKatuv is reflective of the fact that it's not really Kadosh in the same way. Now, he gives another reason that why it might be the basis for the Heterim here. And this is really what I think everyone else is saying. He says, look, maybe the real key to this whole thing is that by Shvi'it, what's the rule? There's an Isser to be mafsid. Mm-hmm. maybe the whole question here is trying to figure out, is it called mafsid when I used it and then sort of, you know, secondarily it gets destroyed, meaning is that hefsid or not, right? And plausibly, not really, exactly.
Or else Hana would be or Shabbat would be.
Tomorrow. But it, you know. Correct, but you could say that once I've used it, so the extra one is not hefsid.
Like Hana would be or Shabbat. You don't have to destroy it at all, but you're destroying it from use, so it's okay.
Rabbi, happening to use the oil isn't the same, like, isn't the same as like using an accent. So if you like accidentally spill oil on the sandal, even if it wasn't, even if you didn't use it beforehand to put on your foot, would you need to burn the sandal according to Rabbi Eliezer?
Say that again, one more time.
If you accidentally spilled oil onto your sandal, you benefit from it.
So that presumably goes back to Chazon Ish's point before.
It depends on how
he understands the Chumrah. Right. Is that if the Chumrah is because we want to punish you, then maybe not. But if it's that's how we define head fit. Okay. Fine. So continuing. Lo Omer Lachem Ma. Right? Rabbi Lazar had said this. They said to Rabbi Kiva, this is what Rabbi Lazar said. And he said, Shah, you're wrong. Okay. So, Or Shesachu B'Shemes. The Gemara says, okay. If you, Ode Shesachu B'.
That's Or.
Or it is. Why is this so? Or Shesachu B'Shemen. Ma Amar Bo Rabbi Lazar. This typo here. What does Rabbi Lazar say? What is Rabbi Lazar's position? So Amar Rabbi Yossi. Yossi says, Atzmotav shel oto ha'ish yisarfu. So Rabbi Yossi says, he wasn't telling you to burn it. He was cursing you and saying you should burn. He didn't literally mean burn it. He wasn't being that machmir. He was cursing you. You should die a painful death. Give him a break, right?
It's clear what he meant. Yisrof, he meant to burn the person.
Correct. So remember we said before that it wasn't clear. Rabbi Kiva responded so harshly. Was he saying that Rabbi Lazar was being machmir or mekil? So here Rabbi Yossi says, what do you mean he's being machmir? He's saying, right? It's not just that should burn. It's you. Burn, die.
That might be why Rabbi Akiva said, shut up, I'm not going to tell you
correct.
What he said.
And Rabbi Chizkiya B'Shem, Rabbi Achamar Mutter. And he said, no. He said that it was Mutter. So therefore you have this machloket. What was the Lazar held? Was he even more machmir than burn? Right, which is, let it burn and you should burn along with it. Right? Or was he saying, Rabbi Akiva was so angry because he said, you are presenting this.
Rabbi Akiva keeps coming out with these banger takes.
Yeah, I don't have anything intelligent to say on that line. Okay? except that...
That the reason that Rabbi Eliezer didn't come is because he was like, Rabbi
Akiva was like, oh, you're being too nice. You're saying that you should only burn the object, when clearly what it means is you should burn. Burn in hell. Right? Like... What? Rabbi Chizkiya explaining Rabbi Akiva within Rabbi Eliezer. I understand that's confusing. It's a machloket. What does Rabbi Akiva mean?
What does it mean?
What?
According to Chizkiya, what does it mean?
No, the reason Rabbi Akiva got so angry was because he was saying he never said that.
He's completely rejecting.
He's just saying you're wrong. He never said that.
Oh.
Right? So again, the Mishnah says Rabbi Eliezer said burn it. Rabbi Akiva got really angry. Why did he get angry? Possibility one is it's wrong. Possibility two is you didn't take it far enough. Exactly. Very good. Okay. The Gemara then continues. Then the Gemara says, "Ode Amru Lefanav, Ochel Pat Kuti." So I see, but it's still 10-2. So Amru Rabbi Yossi Zot Omeret. What does this mean? Why are we so machmir with Pat Kutim, which is either Parakum or other things? Sha'aser Likach Et Bito Shel Am Haaretz. Because in general we.
Can we not check the Gemara and Pesachim and the Bavli that it mentions in the note just to see what
that you should slaughter Amarets? Yes.
Meaning their wives are insects and their daughters, it says about the person who sleeps with their daughters, that cursed is one who sleeps with a animal.
Yep. There you go.
Their daughters?
But remember, that's a whole blot of
It's great. It's a lot
it's
of
a whole plot of if you have an Amaret, you can stab him on Yom Kippur and Fault and Shabbos. Rebbe, why would you say stab? Why don't you say shech? I can't do this. That's the line. It's, right? Amaret, Mutzel, and Nachar, Afil, Yom Kippur, and Shechalei, and Shabbos.
All right, we're doing this, Kobe.
Rebbe, instead of saying, how can you say you could kill them? He says, Rebbe, Emer lo shech, though. Shech, then.
Yeah,
you're
just saying stab, not kill.
No, no, and his answer is, Zeh
Tolan Bracha, Zeh Eno Tolan Bracha. Because if shech them to a bracha, they don't deserve a bracha, so you just stab.
Kobe, we're doing this to the last one.
I don't know. It's weird. I got it though. What do you want from me?
Doing this, Kumar.
I don't know. I don't know what you want.
You cannot help the Christians.
So I don't. I don't know what to tell you here. Yes. Yes. Fine.
Say, if we went according to Agadah, we would just be going around killing Amara.
Yes. In keeping with Mara Fold and our version of the text, we have elucidated Rabbi Yossi's statement concerning the order of an Amaret as a comment upon the reported view of Rilazar and Rabbi Chisin Neiracha's statement concerning the Chametz of Kutians. As a clarification of Rikiva's contrasting version emerges from this approach, though in the previous discussion it was disputed whether Rikiva's version was more stringent or more lenient, in the current discussion no one disputes that Rikiva's version was more lenient and it permitted Kuti bread outright. Others have noted, however, that the two Amorim cited here, Biosir and Chizkia, are the exact same Amorim engaged in the dispute above. This would suggest that also here they're having a similar disagreement whether Akiva's version is more stringent or more lenient. That's Rosh Aurelio and the Red Baz. The Gra adopts this approach as well and accordingly amends the text with Zodo Merit. This teaches, instead of Pito, it's Bito, right? Daughter. Besides amending the text of the Gemara, Gra's text does not include the extras in the Mishnah that appear in our text. The resulting text begins with the minimal citation of the Mishnah and reads as follows. Va'od Amru Lefanav, and in another incident they said before him, the Rilazar stated that one who eats kuti bread is comparable to one who eats pig meat, and Rekiva responded similarly. What did he hold Rilazar's true opinion? Amru Abiyosi. Rabbi Yossi says, "Sha'azar likach pito shel amaretz." It's forbidden to take the bread of amaretz. Not only did Elazar forbid the bread of a kuti, but he even forbade the bread of amaretz. This right. So again, same machloket is the way the Gra reads it is just like before. You have one shita who says the maskan is its mutter, and the other is you didn't take it far enough. So the same thing is here. That one shita says the bread is mutter, and what does the other shita say? Not only is the bread of a kuti aser, but the bread of every amaretz is aser. The reason for this extra stringency of Elazar is that Amaretz does not care about what the rabbis say, and presumably is not careful about the particulars of law that the rabbi is explicating. Consequently, the bread he makes might not be kosher. Thus, just in the previous discussion, Rabbi Yossi understands Rabbi Kiva heard a more stringent opinion from Elazar, Ruchizka, Bishem, Rabbi Acha, Matir, Rabbi Elazar, Chametz, Sogan, Lachar, Pesach, Miyad. The Elazar argues, and he says it's more makil, and the machloket was as follows. Right? Are we worried that kuti are machmir on chametz or not? So the more makel position is no. They keep hilchot pesach, and therefore after pesach you don't have to worry about it. The other shita is their bums don't ever go near them. Go under any circumstances. Don't eat their bread. The amaretz. Nothing. Not kuti. Nobody kill them. Whatever. Right. So therefore you have. Right, and that's the continuation. Right, so you have these two. So according to the Gra, the machlok is like this: one shita says they're so from that they keep helchos pesach, and after pesach we eat the bread. And the other one is not only can you not eat the bread, but you can't marry their daughters, you can't go to have the bread of an amaret, avoid them at all costs. Minakatzeh el hakatzeh. Right, so that's how the Gra reads it. Again, the way the Marafolda has it. Is that no? These are separate halachot. In the first machloket, you have Rabbi Yossi says that Rabbi Kiva is being more machmir, and Chizkiya says he's being more mekel. And here, Rabbi Yossi just says everyone agrees that we're super machmir, right? And then there's a separate halacha about whether we're worried that they have chametz after Pesach, right? So you understand the machloket that one sheet holds that this is. These are connected, right? That Rabbi Yossi is saying, listen, it's minakatzel akatzel, that Rabbi Kiva got angry. Rabbi Yossi says, because you didn't take it far enough, you should have forbidden their bread and their daughters and everything forever and all of eternity and did horrible and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Chizkiah said, nah, they keep Pesach, what's your problem? right? Or you don't have to be worried that they're going to be mach, that they're going to give you chametz. Right? That's the way the Mara, right? That's the way the Gra reads it. The Mara Fulda reads this as two separate machloket. That in the first one, you have the Minah Katzel Machloket. Here, Rabbi Yossi says, no, everyone agrees that you didn't go far enough. And second question is about chametz, and that is a separate halachic issue. Okay?
All right, almost finishing the paragraph.
Yes. Okay, very quickly. Merchatz Shehuska. So just like we have the discussion by Merchatz, so we have the same Hada the Tamer Be'elan Dumusaya. So we have certain
public
bathhouses. Baram Be'elan Pirit Tava, but those that are only for Chashuv people.
Are there a private comes from Rebbe?
Usher, I assume so. Right.
Whoa.
And if mitchashevu, and if he's chashev, areze lo yerchotz. If you're chashev, you can't. What does that mean? Adam shol tzura, areze lo yerchotz. If you're a chashev person, people will learn from you and maybe learn the wrong things, so you're not allowed to. So here's what I think we're going to do, okay? Because the guest speaker is here. Let's at least get one shot in the Mishnah, so we can plausibly say that we finished the Perek. Tomorrow, I will tell you
what
my...
Why don't we just do this when we're going tomorrow?
Or we'll do it while we're walking, yeah. Yeah. Okay, fine. So why don't we... Fine. So let's hold this till tomorrow. So then what we'll do tomorrow for like 20 minutes while we're there is we'll talk about what does Adam Chashuv mean? Yeah, we'll do a walking share on the way there, right? It'll take like 20 minutes. We'll do the different sheets of Adam Chashuv, the Messiah, the Perek, and then, you know, I think so. I mean, I'll check the records if we want.